it's another episode of the Girl Unlimited podcast, the podcast and platform dedicated to seeing you break barriers, live fully, love abundantly, and be all you were created to be. This podcast is especially for you if you're a woman of color with multiple passions, but really, most of what I share here is universal and can be applied by literally anybody. So if you're a dude listening, welcome. It was the Easter celebration last week, and I'm guessing a lot of you were off work if you work a 9-to-5. Hope you had time to relax. I had a music band rehearsal for church, and of course, Sunday was church with a slight difference because it was Easter Sunday. We had a play, which is not something we usually have. It was a very nice play. And there was some special music thrown into the mix, which is always great. The one challenge we could have had was not having a car for the long weekend. And I wouldn't bore you with the long-winded details, but in a nutshell, we have been a one-car family since the pandemic. Well, since a little bit into the pandemic, because my husband and I started working from home, so there was really no need to have two cars sitting in the drive. So our one car, which is about 2 years old and still under warranty, broke down close to the motorway. And we have been going back and forth with the car company and, to get it fixed, obviously. And while it is being fixed, we have been using a hire car. Then came an issue with the car hire arrangement, which almost led to our not having a car for the weekend. Thankfully, we're able to get this sorted actually on Good Friday. So that was kind of cutting fine. But like I said, there's so much more to the story and I might share it in full someday, depending on how this whole matter plays out. But moving on, let's talk about music. You guys know how much I love music, being a singer myself. And for some reason, while on my walk all through last week, I had this urge to just listen to so much music. I don't know why, but I did that. My normal routine when I go out on my walks is to listen to podcasts or listen to an audiobook, but I just felt like listening to music. And shockingly, well, I don't know if it's shocking, but for some reason, I felt a need to listen to some 90s music. Particularly one song had been like in my mind, like constantly. I couldn't help laughing at myself. And I'm probably going to be showing my age here now, but who remembers the song Take It Easy on Me from the early 90s by this singer called Sybil? She also did a version of Walk On By, another really old song from the 90s, but it was even her version anyway, was from the 90s. But there was the, I think it's 1960s version by Dionne Warwick. She was the original singer of the song. And that certainly took me down this rabbit hole. And I found Seal's version of Walk On By. And gosh, that husky voice of his reminded me why I loved music and singing so much. Two other songs I kind of binge listened to this last week and weekend actually are more in the present day, 2022 releases. And one is by For King and Country, who happened to be my favorite band. Actually, I've been binge listening their latest album since its release in March. And though Love Me Like I Am is my favorite song from the album, I binge listened the song Shy, which talks about fire rising up on the inside and not giving up or going back. My type of lyrics, if you know me well. And for some reason, so when I say binge listen, I mean I just keep going back to the song over and over and over and over and over again. So just literally just stay stuck on that song. And then there was another one by Carrie Underwood, who I have loved since seeing her on American Idol all those years back. And she released a new song titled Denim and Rhinestones. And to me, it's a very cleverly written love song with a very distinct 80s feel. Certainly reminded me of Madonna in the 80s. So it was a nice song to listen to as well. So good to see artists like her venturing out of their genre boxes. And if you don't know who Carrie Underwood is, in her case, she's country. She's a country artist. So she's venturing out of her genre box, but she's still staying true to herself because the song is still very much a country song, especially in the lyrics. But it did have a very strong 80s feel. Now, I don't know why I'm telling you guys all these. It's probably not needed, but it's just banter and it's just how my week went. And I talk about Carrie breaking out of her barriers. And obviously that would appeal to me, because if you've listened to Girl Unlimited for any length of time, then you know how much I dislike barriers and stereotypes. Nothing wrong with barriers if they are keeping negativity and danger away. But if it is blocking your next level or your more, then sorry, not sorry, it has to go. But sadly, many people don't even know why they are held back. If it is fear, what type of fear, and why does it have such a hold? For some others, it is not having clarity. Clarity of where they are, where they are going, what they want, and why they want it. Even sadder, so many of us are living from day to day, month to month, year on year on autopilot. And that just won't do. Fulfilling purpose and having a meaningful life doesn't happen by chance, guys. And you were created to live a life of purpose and meaning. That's why we are talking about journaling today. That's the topic for today, journaling. And those who know me know I'm such a big advocate for journaling. So in today's episode, we'll be talking about what it actually is, why it is such a good practice, and why I think it is one of success's best kept secrets. My name is T. Ari, and you are listening to the Girl Unlimited podcast. Now, I just said that I believe journaling is one of success's best kept secrets. What do I mean by that? By success, I'm not necessarily referring to words of cash here. Even though I do believe, depending on where you live and what you do, money, and not just in itself, but your ability to make it, grow it, manage it, and distribute it is certainly a huge indicator of success. Please don't let anyone fool you. Money is good. It is beneficial. Financial independence is necessary. I don't know any rich person who would prefer not to be rich. Yes, money isn't the answer to all life's problems, but believe me, it is better to have than not to have. If or anything, think of all the good you can do and all the lives you can impact. But I digress. Rest assured, we will be talking about money a lot on the podcast because, dear sisters, it is a very integral part of your unlimitedness, okay? But like I said, I digress. So to me, journaling is one of success's best kept secrets because it helps cultivate certain factors that need to be present if you are a person who would become successful. Probably the most obvious is self-awareness. Once again, I don't know any person who claims to be successful who is not intimately in tune with themselves on the inside. You're not going to find any, but if you do, please let me know. I'd like to interview them. We'll be talking a bit more about self-awareness when we are talking about the amazing benefits of journaling in a little bit. But the reason journaling is one of success's best kept secrets as well is it helps with clarity. You will struggle to bring any hazy vision to fruition. You need clarity. For me personally, I have been journaling on and off for years and more consistently in the last 3 years or so. My earliest memory of journaling was around age 9 or 10. I'm not even sure why or how I figured I could de-stress by writing down my thoughts, because that's actually what I was using it for. My first recollection of journaling is writing about a crush who had come to stay with us for a bit back then and how pained I was when he left. God, it's so embarrassing. I still remember my family making fun of me because of this. But I suspect that I picked up the habit from my mother, who was always writing she wrote when she was sad, angry, or just plain worried. And you'd see pieces of paper everywhere in the house, from letters she never sent. And she was writing those letters to probably express her anger at a particular company, to ideas and dreams that she had. At the time she died, just going through her things, I came across one of her many pieces of paper where she wrote about her desire to send me to the US to study for a master's degree. At the time, I lived in Nigeria and I wasn't even done with my first degree when she died. So here my mom, possibly unknowingly, was projecting something that she wanted to see in her life, or well, in my life and vicariously her life as well. Now, she never shared this with me, but it was a bittersweet experience to see what big intentions she had for me. And I say big because taking on a master's degree in the US for a Nigerian ain't cheap. So anyway, I think that is where I picked journaling up from. So what exactly is journaling? You can already tell that there is some writing involved, but because of how vast the practice is, I have found it a little difficult to find an all-encompassing definition. But journaling in its simplest form is expressing one's thoughts through writing, usually done consistently. Remember the word journalism? That was what came to my mind when I was thinking and of how to describe or how to explain what journaling actually was. So what exactly are you writing? Now, here's where the definition begins to grow tentacles. It could be simply writing down your personal account of daily events. This could be a very powerful form of journaling. Think of Anne Frank's diary, or the fact that the only reason we know that the Great Fire of London even happened was because Samuel Pepys wrote down a personal account of the disaster. His diary was actually pretty intriguing because it also gave us a glimpse of what mundane life was like in the 17th century. Or even Keith Green's journal. And if you're not Christian of a certain age, then I forgive you for not knowing who Keith Green is. Even I didn't know who he was until years after his death. But he was one of my favorite Christian music artists. He still is, especially in my formative Christian years. He died young, at age 28, I believe, and I only came to know about him some 18 years after his death. But I felt like I knew him, flaws and all he stood for, simply because I read a book by his widow, Melody, where she published huge sections of his journal. You see, Keith Green was an avid journal keeper, for want of a better word. And as a result, his life kept being an example to others like me years after he died. How powerful is that? Talk of leaving a legacy. Now you may be wondering, because I was wondering, what is the difference between journaling and keeping a diary? Well, in my opinion, they are pretty much the same as far as documenting your thoughts and feelings go. However, I believe the art of journaling pushes the boundaries a bit further. It includes so much more. And yes, it always has the basis of documenting thoughts and feelings. This is why I think it's important to talk about the different types of journaling. For example, you have travel journaling, where the person keeping the journal basically documents his thoughts and feelings regarding the places he visits, the climate, the food, the people, the culture, all of it, but from his point of view, if it's a him. Or a food journal to track your eating habits, or a gratitude journal where, as the name indicates, you are concentrating on writing down things you're grateful for. If I can just stay on this for a second, I can't even begin to tell you how powerful keeping a gratitude journal is. Oh my goodness. In fact, the likes of Oprah and Steve Harvey attribute their successes to a very large extent to journaling their gratitude. Writing down things you're grateful for causes a mind shift, mostly unconsciously, but it causes this mind shift from always seeing problems and then complaining about them to seeing good and seeing solutions. It is a very powerful thing, and I know this from personal experience. It's funny that just a few years ago, Ose always said I was pessimistic, the see glass half empty type of person. But years down the line, even my kids think of me as the most optimistic person they know. That's because at some point in my life, I made a commitment to write down 10 things I was grateful for every single day. Was it a struggle? Yes, sometimes. It caused me to think hard. But what do you think that did to my brain? I began to see good in every situation so I could write about it. Now, if you're stuck and can't think of anything to be grateful for, which I find a bit difficult to believe because, I mean, even if you can't think of anything, you're alive and you have breath, so that is definitely something to be grateful for. Or perhaps you are like me that was trying to push for at least 10 things to be great to write down that I am grateful for each day. Then this particular tip is potentially life-changing. You ready? Journal your gratitude for the kind of future you want, the kind of life you want. Whether you are living the life right now, whether, and most likely you are not living the life right now, which is why I said the kind of future you want. Listen, right? Let me tell you what happens when you start doing this. You call into being what doesn't exist yet. It is said that the mind cannot tell the difference between actual reality and mentally created reality. So when you start to journal something like, oh, I'm grateful that I hit 8 figures this year. Yeah, that is one of mine. When you start to journal that over and over and again on a daily basis, your life begins to gravitate towards that reality. Because as far as your mind is concerned, you are the person who has hit 8 figures this year. See how it works? You begin to become that person because your mind has created or is constantly creating that reality. Okay, let's move on from gratitude journaling. You can tell that I love it very much and I'm very passionate about it. I think it's a fantastic, if you can't think of anything to journal about, then start with journaling your gratitude. Another form of journaling is stream of consciousness journaling, which is like a brain dump or clearance of some sort. An example of stream of consciousness journaling is Julia Cameron's morning pages. This is like deep subconscious stuff. And Julia describes how it works in her book, The Artist's Way. An amazing book, by the way. In a nutshell, you write 3 pages of, you know, the A5 sized notebooks. You fill up 3 pages of writing, usually first thing in the morning, and you write anything that comes to mind. Not much intentionality is involved, and you are not meant to censor yourself at all. You aren't writing like you're trying to submit a thesis here. In fact, no form of journaling is like that. I find this kind of journaling quite deep and therapeutic, almost like unclogging a blocked pipe so water, or in this case, creativity, can flow easily. And when I say creativity, it's because that is what Julia focused on in The Artist's Way. And just spending time brain dumping or just relieving yourself, as it were, onto the pages of your notebook just creates this free flow of creativity to come in. Then there's prayer journaling. Now, this is the type of journaling I personally did a lot of in university. And I remember reading through one of the notebooks I used then. And it was this fancy one with a rubber cover. The rubber cover had liquid in it. It's really weird. I don't know how to describe it. But it was a very nice one. It had a lock. And I remember, I think it was actually a gift because I don't think I would have bought that myself. But it was a gift. It was a very beautiful gift. It's one that calls you to write in it. And reading my words or reading my prayers from that time was quite interesting. I couldn't believe the things I worried and prayed about. It was the most fascinating experience, being catapulted back to my early 20s again. And then there's a type of journaling that focuses on ideas and visions and dreams. I think from the name, you can guess what type of journaling that entails. It is, in a nutshell, futuristic in nature. And then there are even forms of journaling, especially in the tech age that we live in now, that do not even involve any writing at all. And while I still believe writing longhand is the best way to journal, there are other forms or formats of journaling, like art journaling for people who are artistic and can express themselves through art, or even audio and video journaling. Sometimes when I go on walks and I'm hit with an epiphany, at such times, I really can't whip out a notebook and pen and start writing. So especially if it's cold and my hands are freezing. So at such times, I just whip out my phone and record in audio. And then I tried video for the first time, actually, in a travel journal that I started when we visited Budapest last month. It was inspired by my daughter's vlog from a few years back when we visited Isle of Wight on holiday. She looked so young and so cute. I mean, she's still young, but she was younger at the time. And she looked so cute as she took the viewers from room to room and just describing it was a caravan experience. So she was going from one room to the other and just describing the place and describing what we were doing and how long we were going to be there for. And I loved it so much and wanted to try it. So I did, and I'm glad I did. We visit Malaga next month, so I might just continue with it. So those are a few types of journaling, and there are so much more that I haven't mentioned here, but we've covered some good ground. If you think of any others that to add to the list, then feel free to email me or DM me on Instagram, and I'll give you the details later on in the episode. But I wanted to make a quick point before moving on to the benefits of journaling. Journaling, from my experience, is quite fluid. You may find yourself flowing from stream of consciousness to ideas and visions and end up in gratitude, and that's quite all right. There is really no hard and fast rule to journaling. However, I do advise applying some intentionality to your journaling, depending on what you want to achieve, if you want to get the best out of journaling. That's where things like journaling prompts come in, but more on that later. So why journal? There are so many good reasons to journal, but for the sake of the length of this podcast, I'll only be mentioning a handful. I think one of the most obvious benefits, at least to me, is that you'll grow in self-awareness. Now, remember what I said earlier, that sadly, so many people are living their lives on autopilot. Wake up at 7, eat breakfast, go to work, come back from work, eat dinner, spend time with family, if you have any, or in front of the TV, and then go to bed and start it all over again the next day. And then before you know it, you're 60 years old with absolutely no clue where the last 35 years went. I don't know about you, but the thought of that scares me. Now, journaling is a great antidote and wake-up agent because journaling helps you become aware of your thoughts, your feelings, your desires, values, and so on, while helping you organize and make sense of them. It forces you to be present and take notice of yourself, not just your surroundings, but yourself for a change. Another benefit I see, and one that's quite similar to the benefit of growing in self-awareness, is you start to learn more about yourself when you journal. So it is a great self-discovery tool. How, you might ask? Just write, and then from time to time, read back what you've written. Then you begin to see patterns you didn't see before. And the more you write, the more conscious of your thought patterns and tendencies you become, without even having to go back and read what you've written before. Now, these two benefits are quite introspective, I know, but self-awareness and self-discovery are extremely important if you are to live a life of meaning and purpose. Why? Because, for instance, knowing who you are could be the difference between spending your life doing work you are not best suited for and work that sits perfectly within your zone of genius, or something completely different, like whether you and the guy you're dating are a good match. So it definitely cannot be underestimated. Another benefit is journaling is a great tool for clarity. I already mentioned or alluded to this earlier. So we've already talked about gaining clarity on who you are, but it also helps in gaining clarity in what you want to achieve. So your visions and goals and such. I'm sure I don't need to tell you how important clarity is, but how does journaling help with this? So just the fact that you are writing down your thoughts with regards to your dreams and visions somehow boosts comprehension and connection with what is written. That's why you'll suddenly find you're getting several aha moments when you write. That's how I actually found out that writing, for instance, for me, was a core part of my purpose. So it certainly helps you with clarity. Another benefit is journaling boosts your mood. Remember what I said about journaling your gratitude and how that helps you focus on the flowers instead of the thorns, figuratively speaking, of course. There's simply no room for sadness within a heart filled with gratitude. So imagine what it's like when you are actually itemizing those things that you are actually grateful for. Many times when I've done this, it has led to me being surprised of all the good that I have ignored in my life. And then I find myself almost giddy with happiness, which is really weird, especially when on the face of it, you can't really pinpoint anything to be necessarily happy for. But I find myself at those times just filled with a joy and a giddiness because I can see. For the first time, I can really, really see. I can see beyond just the peripheral. It's a really powerful thing. And similar to the benefit of boosting your mood is the benefits of journaling helping you de-stress. I already told you about the story of my mom, but I found that this is actually the most common form of journaling that people do. Somehow they find a way to gravitate towards finding a sort of release for pent up emotions or pent up stress. So when anyone is struggling to express deep hurt, writing it out usually provides the release that they need. Imagine all that pent up tension poured out on paper. Filled with rage, take it out on the paper. Of course, not by tearing it up, but by actually writing in it. I have recommended this type of journaling so many times to clients, friends, and family, especially when I notice a stress buildup. Do you know there's actually a study that shows that expressive writing like this actually leads to lower blood pressure? That's amazing, isn't it? Now, this next benefit I'm about to say, you'll probably think is counterintuitive because I've already said to write unrestrained and not like someone writing a thesis. That just means with journaling, punctuation and handwriting and grammar don't really matter. In fact, they don't matter at all. But having said that, journaling in some way makes you a better writer. I know that sounds weird, but it does. It certainly was the case for me, but especially children. Interestingly, in the space of a few weeks, I've actually heard several accounts of parents telling me how their children's writing skills were far advanced for their age, simply because they, the parents, handed them a notebook and a pen at age 4 or 5 and got them to simply write down their feelings and thoughts. I saw this trend in my daughter as well. She started journaling and then started to blog, and then it turned out that she was always more advanced in English composition than other children in her class. And that was with literally no help from me or her dad. Now, the last benefit I would like to mention falls under the remit of journaling your ideas, goals, visions, and dreams. And that is the fact that journaling makes you more likely to take action on what you have written. Now, you're not going to hear this as one of the benefits of journaling, but I do strongly believe that it is. Because what you're doing is writing down the vision and making it plain. Studies have shown that you are likely to achieve those dreams that you write down. Again, I've mentioned this popular study by psychology professor Gail Matthews. And if you don't know about the study, I'll just give you a brief summary. So Matthews sampled a group of men and women aged between 20, from their 20s to 70s. And they were from all parts of the world in different fields like entrepreneurship and law and banking and health professionals and the like. And one group were made to write down their goals, and then the other were asked not to write down their goals. It turns out that more people within the group who wrote down their goals achieved their dreams over and above those in the other group that didn't write theirs. In fact, the conclusion was that we are 42% more likely to achieve our goals and dreams by simply writing it down. How crazy is that? If that doesn't get you journaling, I don't know what will. So now you know the different benefits of journaling and you are probably eager to get started. So here are my suggestions on how to start journaling. Well, for me, there are no hard and fast rules, okay? You might have to experiment a little to find your rhythm and find what works for you. But it doesn't have to be this fancy activity. In fact, the fanciest I ever go is in the notebook I buy. And I buy lots, and that's just because I like journals. So get yourself a notebook and, of course, a pen and start writing whatever comes to your mind. And I mean whatever. even if it is food you ate the day before. The idea is to establish some sort of flow. Then it will be time to apply some intentionality. And a shortcut to doing this is to use journal prompts. Depending on when you are listening to this podcast, I am working on a little ebook that will be up on Kindle and Audible. and it will contain a lot of what we've shared today and a lot more, plus 50 or so journaling prompts that you can use. I advise just using one or two at a time, or the ones that are relevant for where you are at this time of your life. Some of the prompts will be universal, like gratitude. I think gratitude should be an everyday occurrence personally. So in the absence of what to write, there's always that, like I said earlier. And then there are the other journaling styles I mentioned earlier, like stream of consciousness in, for example, the morning pages with Julia Cameron. So hear me when I say you don't have to use prompts. You can totally journal without prompts. Prompts are just there to make sure you never have to look at a blank, milky page ever again. And they help you journal with intention, which I think is a very powerful thing. It just makes your journaling a lot more purposeful, a lot more meaningful, and will lead to amazing results if done consistently. And that's the next thing I wanted to talk about. Now, I do believe that most people have journaled off and on at one time or the other in their lives. The problem is they are not consistent. And that right there is the most important part of this whole thing. Though you can get short-term benefits, especially if you're journaling to de-stress, but the real long-term benefits come from being as consistent as possible, because that is when you'll find or see the real benefits. So I suggest considering habit stacking, like I shared a few weeks ago on the podcast from James Clear's Atomic Habits. You can make it a very integral part of your morning routine or bedtime routine. Make it easy by leaving your notebook on your bed or your nightstand. I sometimes leave mine on my pillow. If it helps, make the notebook as attractive as possible. I know I love really attractive notebooks. So you could do that if that takes your fancy. Also, maybe consider running like a 30-day journaling challenge to crystallize the habit. You can definitely do it yourself, but from experience, I know that it could be more fun and you would be more likely to finish it when you get friends and family involved. My last advice is to write in longhand where and when possible. And I know I said this earlier, but it's worth saying again. There's been research done in the last 15 years or so that has found that writing by hand actually stimulates and trains the brain in a way that digital versions of writing cannot. Okay? Like I said, the other forms of journaling are amazing, and you should definitely incorporate that into your journaling practice, just if for nothing, for flavor and variety. But they should not be used in place of writing by hand unless it absolutely cannot be helped. So I hope this helps you understand a bit more about journaling and why you should definitely get into the practice if you haven't already. I hope this convinces you to get into the practice as soon as you can. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. If you can think of any more benefits of journaling or other types of journaling that I haven't mentioned here, why not DM me on Instagram? I'm at TRE_girlunlimited. So that is spelled TEEARI_GIRLUNLFELIMATD. Or you can send me an email at girlunlimited, all one word, and then the number 1@gmail.com. Until next time, ladies, remember you are a unique person created with a God-given purpose and unlimited potential. The question is, what are you going to do about it?
You think that nothing will become of me, that I'll never come to anything, but I rise, rise. Yes, you might have given up on me, 'cause you couldn't see what I see.